Hello and welcome back to our podcast Popokultur with Berlo
and Nex.
Today we are recording in English because we have a very special guest virtually connected with. It's Raresh. Hello and thank you for your time. Great to have you.
Hi guys. Hi.
Great to have you online. Well, we're very interested in you as a person because we love your Instagram account. It's like a piece of art. And Daniel and Schnecks and I, we were sitting and checking it out, and we were wondering how you got it started, or how do you get started? And like, first of all, the first question that pops my mind is like, what do you call yourself? What's your profession? Are you an influencer? Are you an artist? Are you everything?
Okay, starting with the hard question I see there. what do I call myself? I don't know, I guess. I don't know what to call myself, but people outside, they call me influencer or content creator. Honestly, I didn't put a label on it yet. But I guess you say I'm an influencer or a social media influencer when I don't want to go into it and people ask me, what do you do? And I don't want to really go into it. You know, I'm an influencer, whatever. I say I'm either in social media marketing or I'm a photographer.
Yeah, because I also saw like that you shot a campaign for Lena Hoshek,
like
the designer.
A few, yeah.
Of course, you know, pretty impressive for to shoot a campaign for a designer. So that, would you say that you are also like a photographer, or is it like, would you summarize it under content creator in general?
No, I would say I'm a photographer. Okay, now everybody that's a real photographer will say, ah, these Instagrammers. but I'm a photographer in the sense that I do all the steps that a photographer does. So I take care of like the technical part, I take care of lighting, and then I do take care of what like an art director would do. You know, I set the stage, I work with the model directly, and then I do what an editor would do. So I take the material, I edit it, and I give it to the client. So I was actually talking with somebody a few days ago that we, as a, let's say, content creator, we have to do all the stages that are normally done by different people in a like a traditional type of structure. Like if you go to an agency, whatever, you have somebody that's only photographer, like takes the camera and clicks. And then there's somebody else that is only the art director, then works with like the environment, the model, and then it's somebody else that, I don't know, does the emails, the marketing, the negotiation, the contract, and then there's somebody else that does other stuff. So we have to pack everything in one person. So I have to do all of them. And if you work in this branch, you have to be able to know a little bit of each of a section.
So you're literally an agency consisting of one person, right? Because, I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
In my case, I do everything with my wife together. So she's also an influencer. She's has her own channel. And although we have two separate companies, we do kind of work together. So it is a little bit more of a feel like I have somebody to talk with, to plan, to, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say we do everything together, alone, all in one.
So if your name is Me and Mango, from your brand, would you say that Mango is your wife then?
No, that's everybody thinks that. Many people think that Me and Mango is actually a couple channel for me and her. And I get it because of the name. But actually, Mango, it was my parrot. I had a parrot, my pet, that I really liked. Unfortunately, he passed away like this year. But he was with us for, I think, 8 or 9 years. And he was really with us everywhere. We went through different, places, we went through life, and he was also always there. So it kind of meant a lot for us and for me as well. I got it as a present for my wife like 9 years ago. And his name was Mango. And that's why I said Me and Mango as like me and my pet. But now everybody asks, oh, so Irina is me and you're the Mango. So I'm like,
so that's the mystery is lifted today.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we just like walk down memory lane. Like how did this whole concept start? The whole channel with Me and Mango and you getting into photography and this whole very digital creative playground, let's say. Getting so many followers is like, it's on the one hand very impressive. I don't think it's like something that happens from one day to the other. And then it's a lot of pressure probably as well to maybe in the community. I don't know. I'm not an influencer. So I just have a couple of followers. So I'm fine with that.
Say it, Bello. I think you have, how many do you have?
I think 300 plus. Thank you for asking.
So we are micro influencers.
Yeah, we're micro in our micro world.
Actually, micro influencer would be from 10k to like 50k. That's
thank you.
The rule of hand with agencies, you know.
Okay,
if they're looking for a micro, if you have above 50k, they say, oh no, we are looking for micro influencers.
So. Oh, okay, I learned something. So I'm like literally not existing. Sorry, I'll take it back.
So it happened like that. It started with Irina. She was she's more like a artistic type of personality, and both of us had like normal jobs working from different firms, and she started playing with Instagram as an app editor or something like that, it was just normal, a hobby, like for this is like 5, 6, 7 years ago. So it wasn't big. It was like just another app. And she started to, you know, take some pictures in the city, in Vienna, beautiful architecture, stuff like that. And then she got kind of, because she was pretty good, she got pushed by Instagram. She was suggested. And then, you know, all this kind of ecosystem started to form around her channel, like brands saw that she has a lot of like impact, good engagement, stuff like that. And they started contacting her, and it was everything very, very organic. We were still working at the time, so it was still like just a setting. I didn't think it was no money, so it was just, you know, hobby stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, things jumped to the next level, you know, money got into the equation, and people like brands start seeing that, okay, you can use social media to influence people, whatever. And they start working with different influencers. And Irina was one of them that was asked by brand to start collaborating and doing things. And this started growing and growing until a point that the demand was so big for her to, you know, to like work with brands that she couldn't do it by herself. I got to be involved. And the demand was so big that we didn't have really time for anything else, and was starting to, you know, conflict with our jobs. Not long after that, we had to take a decision in terms, okay, which one do we do? We can't do both. And then she decided she will go full-time on as an Instagrammer. She quit her job. I was still working because we didn't jump, both of us. I said, okay, you go and see what's happening. I'm going to stay in my job because, you know. It just went up from there. And at some point I realized that also I couldn't keep my job and also be involved in all the projects.
What did you do before that? And what was your job?
I was a web analyst in a big data agency.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I was kind of a little bit from the analytical part, from the whole web thing. So I would, I had some know-how, and I would our company would work with like big brands like Red Bull or Bila on their tracking or their websites and doing some kind of consulting. And I was a little bit in this new media world, so I had a little bit of know-how. So at some point we said, okay, we probably have to go both of us full time into this, because it was a lot of traveling. There was like the hours necessary to deliver were more and more. And at that point I said, okay, I can quit my job. I can take this risk, but I don't want to be like your camera, like your photograph or your, you know, the guy behind that does the things. I want to have my own thing. I want to put my own thing there. And then I started my own channel as a secondary channel in a way. So the focus one was on her channel because she already had like, I don't know, 60, 70K. And it stopped working. And that was the channel that we were hoping that maybe we could also make money out of it so we can, you know, live. And then I started mine. And yeah, from there, I started also putting much more effort into it and really like, okay, I really want to be something that I reflects me in a way. It went also up from there, but still right now, her channel is the bigger one and the one that's more, you know.
What I super much like about your channel, about the Me and Mango Instagram, is that it's so so different than others, because I think what is really characteristic of your channel are the stop motion videos and the filters and the colors. So would you say that it's also important to create something different than the other content creators? So to be successful, is that important to be special?
Depending how you define success. Do you mean success in terms of followers, engagement, contracts, money, everything that's like business-wise success?
I would say to be able to live independently from it, right? Because I mean, I think there are a lot of influencers that are doing it on a side, but still need, you know, the cash flow coming in from a regular job. But mm-hmm. I mean, let's say you made your hobby and your passion to a job, right? So I think that is definitely success. Money wise, I think this is very subjective. I mean, this is something you and your wife probably decide on a regular basis.
Because so success would mean to be able to live out of it.
Yeah. Right, okay. Daniel, or would you say something else?
I mean, I also think that just followers is, I would not consider it just followers as success, because the engagement is also very important, so that people engage with you and that it's not like a silent community, but a community that talks to you and comments on your content. Mm-hmm. But for me, I would join Lila's or Bello's opinion that it's important to like to live from it, or at least to be independent. And because if you're a creative person, you need also like the basic needs you need to have them fulfilled.
The basic needs, and even more than that, I would say it's legitimate to want more. You want to upgrade. Maybe you want to have a better room, a better hub, you know, a better car. I don't think it's anything wrong with that. I don't really agree that like an artist should be, you know, very poor in order to be authentic.
Yeah.
but to answer the question, if you need, or how much do you need to be creative and different in order to have success, right? That would be the question. Let me think. I think there are two forces that both need to be balanced in a way. On one hand, you have, let's say, what everybody's doing. We call this the trend. So if something now it's trending, everybody's doing more or less the same, but people like really like to consume it, we call this a trend. And it is smart to get on it, because then you are, let's say, where the action is happening. On the same time, you have something that you can do that's different, that's really you, that's creative, that makes you different than the others. And you have to do that as well, because if you are exactly like the actors, especially now, which are so many of them, you get like drawn in the sea of influencers. Mm. So you're not special, you're just doing whatever the other are doing. So I think you have to be managed to balance the two, to be enough in the trend so you can be where the action is, where the followers are, where everything is converging in terms of attention, and also to be enough different that you stand out, but you don't stand out somewhere in a corner where nobody's looking, because your artist is so different. I mean, you can do that, but if you want to grow, you have to also use the trend as a way to go further. So I guess here is the art of playing with the two forces, to be enough in the trend and enough different so you can, let's say, get the best of both worlds.
So would you say you're not completely free in what you do for a living, you know? So you can't just wake up and say, okay, these are the topics that are important for me. This is the message I want to get across, or my art. It's like you really have to adjust to what the mainstream wants from you. Could you say that?
Yes. I mean, if you want to grow
be successful
in terms of business, yes, you have to pay attention to the mainstream, and you have to analyze it, and you have to be more or less relevant to with what's happening with the trend, right?
Mm.
Then otherwise you could do like, you are free actually, but you self-impose this on you.
Yeah.
You could do like whatever you want. You can go crazy and be very abstract and whatever, but, and that's the beauty of Instagram. You can do whatever you want, but the feedback that you get from the community, from the world, from the businesses depends on how much you align with what's relevant at the point.
What I'm interested to know also is like, there's a growing competition on social media. Like there are more influencers or more content creators than 5 years ago, like 10 years ago. Would you say that's for someone who wants to start now in 2020, that it has become harder to be successful or to just be visible, you know?
So yes, it is true. It's like the barriers of entry are higher now than they were like when I started or when Irina started or even at the beginning, because the app is more popular, because the ecosystem is more like already there, like a status quo. So yes, it is much more, it's harder to get up now. But in the same time, if you pay attention to what's happening and if what you produce it's relevant, you can be pushed up much more easier than then. So you can have, let's say, overnight success much more easier right now, because this is how the algorithm works, than then. Then it wasn't those viral things, those viral people, there weren't so many. Mm. It was like the algorithm would like push a steady grow. Now it's more like it's harder to steady grow, but easier to really skyrocket.
But what do you think is the most important about the content to really skyrocket? Is it authenticity or is it to jump on the trend train?
Relevance.
If I post a really relevant video on YouTube, for example, so at least a few people have to see it to consider it as relevant for them.
Mm-hmm.
But how does when does the algorithm know, oh, wow, this is relevant?
First of all, guys, if I would knew exactly the answer to those questions, I would have millions of followers right now. So I don't know. No, I don't know how the algorithm exactly works. But as like my own opinion after analyzing and seeing what's happening is that you need to have a constant, let's say it's not one post, maybe it's like a month of good posts. That is like a cumulative effect. And after a while, I don't know exactly when, after a while, as you said, the snowball effect starts. So you have to, let's say, be very, very, very good at the beginning, really try to break the ice. And if you do that constantly for a period of time, even if you do 1 month, if you post every 2 days, really good posts that every post is like getting more and more, then the algorithm analyzes that and see the increase percentage wise maybe. Yeah, you have 100 follower likes today, you have 150 tomorrow, you have two the other day, and say that that's easy for the algorithm to see, oh, this is promising, this must be good content because I see an increase, constant increase. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take this content and show it to even more people than his followers right now. Yeah, I'm going to put it in other networks, like in the explore page or whatever. And then they analyze how those people are reacting to your post. If they see a growth in their reaction, they say, okay, so that means this is really good. I'm going to push it to even more people. So it gets gradually like that.
But what I found interesting is that you also have a YouTube channel where you post videos about like the best places in Vienna and like travel diaries.
Yeah.
From Dubai or Paris. So I noticed that you post not so regularly on YouTube.
No, I actually stopped 2 years ago, and I just posted 1 month ago another video from Hungary, and that was part of a paid deal. So that's why I negotiated to also do a YouTube video. But otherwise, I don't post anymore on YouTube.
Why don't you post any longer on YouTube?
Well, it's a lot of work and little return. So I really have to invest a lot of energy and time into producing all that stuff. And then I don't have so much return into it. So in other words, it didn't really took off.
Oh, really? Because a few videos, they really took off. They have, I think, 200,000 views, something like that, a few of
them. Yeah, but those are the exceptions, and they took off in time, like during, I know, 2 or 3 years.
And why do you think these videos were exceptions? Because I couldn't notice any difference in the quality, because some videos of yours that have half of
they were more relevant. Good,
you know, pardon?
They were more relevant. So what went well on YouTube was like, for example, we did a video when we did our DIY bed from Paris. People could have some value out of this. Okay, oh, I could also bed like that. So there is extra value than just seeing two guys going on a vacation.
I mean, the thing is, I think you can't provide or be successful on all social platforms on the same time, right? I mean, you have to focus, right?
Yeah.
Or can you make, because I see it's difficult because Instagram is very imaginative with a lot of pictures. This is more the language than YouTube. There's a lot of action. You have to look good. You have to do fun stuff. Music has to work, etc. And then now we have TikTok. It's more this fun, dancey, quick. I don't get this medium, but whatever. And then Snapchat and what the hell ever those names are. I think you have to focus.
Forget Snapchat. Snapchat is history.
I know. I heard from a young student I have at my office that's not cool anymore. But okay, I know that. But it's like, do you have like a transformation as well? I mean, because I think like Facebook, that was the thing back in the day. Then Instagram came, right? I mean, is that important for you at all in your daily business, for example?
You know, what's interesting about that, it seems that each platform has its own generation. So you say more Facebook is more like our parents' generation. They spend so much time on it and do a lot of stuff there. Our generation, more like millennials type of people, I mean, type people born around that time, they're more into Instagram. And the young kids, really the youngsters, the young people, they are more into TikTok.
But I'm also more into TikTok.
I don't get
you
it.
You are a kid inside.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. So like for me, it's so abstract because being like a content creator, influencer, I mean, it's like you don't really have a 9-to-5 job, right? It's like, like how much work do you put in? Because it's like when I go to your account, it's like, oh, it's so pretty and la, la, la. But I think it's a lot of work because if I post a picture, it takes me like 5 hours to look okay for my 20 likes. Well, sometimes it's 100. And then when I start, you know, with all these filters, I'm like, oh, hell, forget it. You know, what for? This is like, you know, I'm just going to go for a run or something because I can't deal with this. So it's like a lot of work. Or is it something that you get better in and it's like you do this stop motion videos in like a minute? Like, do you and your wife consider like, okay, Saturday, Sunday is off, we don't work? Or do people that are in that line of never have off? I don't know.
Yeah,
how does it work?
It is a challenge for sure. You don't have like a structure, so you have to self-impose or you will burn out actually. So the problem normally is that you do too much. You don't stop because there is always something to do. It's always better. It's always a target in front of you. And I know many influencers that actually do burn out because they never stop. So I think the smart way is to make a schedule for yourself and say, okay, for example, in my case, in the evenings, I don't work. So I stop around, I don't know, 6, 7 or whatever.
Great.
Well, if I have a project, if I want a trip or whatever, but if I am at home, I'm in my regular program, I stop and I do something else. But then there is also that voice in my head saying, okay, you could do more. Whatever, why don't you work on a piece of content, post tomorrow? Maybe that will help you grow. You have to deal with that. How do you, you don't want to be lazy. You want to give the best you have, but also you don't want to give so much. It's like when you go to gym and you work out too hard, then you actually damage your muscles instead of helping them grow. So there is a juggle there. And no, we don't have like a Monday to Friday. We work on weekends the same. Sometimes we also forget what day it is because they are all the same. Sometimes we work a lot, like we can have month that we are like every day evenings. If we are on a trip, that could go till, I don't know, 2-3 weeks. It's every day going out, every day shooting. It's like a very demanding schedule. And we also have afterwards, after a trip like that, we also have a low, like when we are exhausted and everything is kind of slowing down and we are not so productive. And then we have to get back on the, you know, high level performance. The bigger you are, the bigger your clients are and the more responsibility you have and you have to deliver. It's not a joke anymore. I mean, if you work like big designers or you have with brands, you do things, it's like a job. You are responsible. It's also your image you have to protect. You cannot say whatever, I don't care. So yeah, you have to really take it serious.
But right? Like, do you ever just like, I'm speaking personally, but like sometimes I have a really exhausting week and then I'm like, oh God, I'm just gonna wear my jogging, get some huge Ben and Jerry's ice cream and chill it out on Netflix for like 7 hours or a whole weekend while people are hiking and taking pictures. Fuck that. Chill it out. And even being a little bit depressed, not being depressed, but you're so tired. Do people like you can even do that?
Yeah, of course. I'm doing so, this right now. I have my pajama on.
I know, but you still look better than I do. That's damning. But it's fine. But still, but so you chill today, this morning, or are you going to go to Stefan's Dom and jump out of it and make a stop motion video? So you do chill. You are a normal human being and relax.
I am a normal human being. Everybody, please, I am normal.
No, because it's like, it's really fascinating. Because like, do you guys have like, because you say you go on, you go to different destinations and you do shootings. Do you miss that regular vacation, like waking up, not knowing what to do? And is it really vacation or is it?
No, it's never. We haven't had a vacation since we started Instagram.
Wow.
Honestly. But we've been to many very cool places and very beautiful things. We experienced very out of ordinary things, which were very cool. And I'm grateful for that. And there were moments, I mean, in the trips, like one evening in Morocco, we just chill on the, you know, on the rooftop, looking at Marrakesh, you know, on the sunset, drinking tea with people from all around the world, very interesting people that inspire you. You know, and you are there to talk at a conference about whatever. If you stop and appreciate where you are and what you're doing, it's a beautiful feeling and I really, really enjoy it. But it's not a vacation. It's not like I stay 5 days in a hotel and just go to the beach or whatever. We never do that because, I don't know, we didn't do it yet.
I mean, like when I look at like, I love those pictures from you guys. Sorry, Daniel. I love those pictures when you guys, like you or your wife, I'm not sure, is like laying in bed in Paris in this beautiful hotel room or apartment. It's like, I'm like, oh my God, I want this vacation. Do you have the same thought as I do? Like when you look at your pictures and say, oh, I would have loved that to be a real vacation.
Well, usually we have it before. I mean, when I try to produce the content, so the better the content is, the more, you create that kind of a feeling in the one that is looking at it. So that's the target, to create a meaningful experience for the user. Being like a beautiful, dreamy place, in a dreamy, like positive vibes, whatever. I think about these things and I try to make it like the picture that I create, in my opinion, it's not a diary. It's my art. It's something that I want to transmit to you. It's not like, look what I'm doing. Look where I am. This is me in bed. I'm not that type of an influencer. I'm a type of influencer that I would like to create a content that would inspire something in the people that are watching it. Just being like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's so chill. That's also something that I think it's okay to inspire. I don't have to, you know, change your life or whatever. But to inspire a positive feeling, I find that cool.
How long does it take you, like, for a post? Like, how do you guys work? Do you, like, say, okay, it's November, right? This is what we have done, and this is, like, a schedule we have? Or are you, like...
It is also planned, but not very planned. I mean, we plan, like, big trips. But then the thing is like that, how it works in my case. I have to like it first in order to be able to create it. So I have to... have it in my mind, and then when I create it, I know where to go and what to do. It is very rare that I don't know what's gonna be, how the content will go out, and I just go, you know, and I'm randomly trying to do something. That's more rare. That has also it has also some benefits in terms that sometimes when you experiment, you don't know exactly what you want, but just you do stuff, sometimes it clicks and oh, look at that. But normally you have to kind of have it in your mind before. And we notice that then is when the creation process is the most smooth. So logistically, we kind of have the next 3-4 weeks kind of more or less we know what to do. We have the scheduled some shoots. We have scheduled some works. We normally have, like we do for brands, so we know in advance that we have to deliver at that date. So it's already scheduled for us in a way. And yeah, it is more or less like a business. You just schedule your tasks, you know what you have to do, and then you focus on the task, micro focus on it, and you see exactly what kind of content can you create, what is the environment. That was very important for us for a while because we were like traveling a lot. So depending where we are, we create a type of vibe. Yeah, I don't know if I answered exactly, but this is how more or less.
Yeah, you did. It's a good picture.
How did you get these skills, like video editing, photographing? That's really sophisticated, actually, that it looks like that.
I think the most important skill that somebody can learn, and I guess that's why we have school and university, is to be able to learn new stuff. So that's the most important thing that I learned. Also, me being, I'm born in Romania. I lived in Romania until I finished my high school. I came here to Austria only at the university. So I had to be able to adapt to new different kind of situations. So I did this from like more or less a young age. And I think I developed a mini skill to adapt to new challenges, to learn, you know, to figure it out how to do it. So that helped me in this because I learned everything by myself by trying, doing, reading, you know.
So you watched like tutorials on YouTube and read about it and...
Yeah, everything. Try it out, see what works, try new kind of equipment, talk with other people that do it, ask questions, read blogs, read tutorials.
Cool.
So after starting your profession like that, how do you consider your community? Do you like your let's say colleagues who do basically the same or are in the same field? Is there a lot of pressure? Like, how would you say? Is it like a family supportive network, or is it more, you know, the elbow me first?
First of all, I meet a lot of interesting people. Most of people in this community are like a little bit a different type of people. Not, you wouldn't have like a standard. There are people that are willing to take risks and to try something new. They don't follow like a standard path. Usually they had to overcome some obstacles in order to get here. So that makes them interesting, in my opinion, and interesting to find their story, how they did it, how they do it. Of course, we are all in the same community, but we are also competing to each other. So each of them, it's more or less my competitor, especially the ones that are closer geographically. So, for example, we compete actually for the same project with influencer in Austria. Yeah, or even Europe. Maybe we don't compete with influencers in Japan or in the US. There is a limited number of, let's say, projects, and then there are more influencer led projects, and then you compete on it.
You mean projects with like customers needing or wanting
paid
to
projects.
Hire?
Yeah,
okay,
paid.
Paper.
So this, of course, creates undesirable type of behavior and relations. And I think we can see in social media community the same type of people and situations that you can see wherever else in other, like in, I don't know, in fashion, for example. The issue here, I think, is that when you have a niche, that when the metric where you evaluate the value of the content is subjective. It's not like, you reach this number, so that's a good content. You didn't reach this number, you're bad. No, it's more like, oh, I like it. Oh, it's such a cool vibe. That's a good image for my brand. No, this is very subjective. And then you don't know exactly on which grounds people are choosing what's best. It's not only likes and engagement, not at all. It's a lot about the image, about the type of image that, you know, corresponds with a different brand or a different idea. So it's quite a complex set of rules that make this niche work. And Yeah, there is for sure that kind of a competition that it's not always healthy, but there's also like a very interesting group of people, and many of them are very interesting and can learn a lot of stuff from them. Many of them have very interesting life stories, like you couldn't believe. Very inspirational, actually. I say it's like everything else, with the good and bad.
So you do have people that are close to you from the community that you liked, you learned to like over time, but it's like in other fields as well, you always have the competition, you always probably have...
Yeah, there are cool people that you are friends with, and even if they are also your competitor, you really have a good relation and you wish them well. There are other people that you don't agree with the way they do it. You find that, let's say, maybe you think that their success is not proportional with their value, you know, what they create. But again, that's your subjective take on that. So it's very, you don't know exactly who's right, who's not right.
I mean, is there like some sabotage going on in the scene? Like,
I hear there is, but honestly, I'm not very involved. I'm not a very social guy.
Shady.
Yeah, I'm not very involved into that.
Bella always says, like, loves the gossip.
There is gossip.
Bring it on. Sure. Right.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Every time, it's not interesting to me personally. That's the thing.
For me, it is. If you ever hear something, call me. But, I mean, let's talk about, like, haters gonna hate, right? Mm-hmm. It's like even in my field, like when you hear, you read something in the newspaper about influencers and so on, like a lot of people say, like, this is so irrational. They earn so much money for like clicking, you know, for a couple of pictures. They don't really do anything. They don't have any expertise, but have like a pseudo expertise on everything, you know, promote, I don't know, stop pollution, stop eating meat, whatever. I mean, like, what do you have to say to that? Is like, does it upset you? Like, hey, people, I do work. I probably work more than half of you guys. And like, because even I get upset.
Yeah, but I also know the reality that there are influencers out there that fit that description.
Really?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's obvious that influencer that there is 0% art, or like, it's just, you know, taking a picture of my ass and put it on my Instagram every day. And I have like a few million followers and, I don't know, 100,000 likes per picture. Okay, I get it. They are relevant for a group of people that like that. But so I guess it's their right to be successful because they do something relevant. But I personally don't find them... valuable for me. So
do you know the Instagram account Girls with Irrelevant Captions?
No.
You have to check it out. It's about guys and girls, and she's taking pictures of the photo and the captions and then commenting on that. So it's so funny. Girls with Irrelevant Captions. Yeah. But in the end of our conversation, so I would be also interested to know, like, your final recommendations, like, in terms of, if someone asks you, hey, I would like to create content, I would like to be creative, how do I start? What kind of tips and recommendations would you give to this person?
I think practically, you need to train yourself. And you train yourself by consuming a lot of good content. So if you want to create good content, that would be the result of what you put inside, that I would say. So practically, you want to follow good people that create good content, regularly look at their pictures. So you kind of train your mind to see something that is good. And then when you create, your mind will say, that's not good because it doesn't match with all the millions of pictures that I have in my mind that were good. Because you see, look at that, the proportion is not very good, or you look, this is overexposed here, shouldn't be like that. So you just consume a lot of good content, and then that will inform you when you create content, would make you see the beauty in whatever is outside and try to capture it in your content. So I think that's the most important. Consume as much as possible content that you think is good. It's going to change in time. You're going to see your taste evolves based on what you do. And I think if you it's like everything else. If you read good things, you're gonna have good thoughts, right? If you see good content, good movies, whatever, then those will be in your mind. So this is the same with pictures on Instagram or videos. Just try to consume good content, to be mindful of finding good people, not just follow and look at content that makes you react in a way. We usually use that just a reaction type of thing. Oh, this is, oh, wow, the wow effect. Oh, wow, look at that, whatever, you know. You can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if you really want to start creating and good content is on your priority, then you have to see good content. And seeing good content will make you more sensitive to, you know, seeing what's good and what's not when you do stuff. So that's my main thing. Just start seeing good content, look out for it, and then analyze it a little bit. Get down to basics. What is he or she doing here that I like? What is this? Look at the light, look at the forms, look at the geometry, look at the angles.
But I also hear very often like the advice to find a niche and produce always like the same. So if you want, if you wanna make cooking videos, you always have a cooking channel. You always have to cook. And if you wanna do woodwork, you also always have to make woodwork. And my question is, we as humans, we always have many different talents or hobbies, I guess, and interests.
Yeah. So
am I always limited as a content creator to one niche, or can I also try out different stuff without the algorithm punishing me for trying next to my Wiener Schnitzel tutorial how to make a, I don't know,
a bird nest?
A bird nest tutorial. So,
yeah, very good questions, Daniel. I like them. I struggle also with this. The formula is, as you said, find a niche and get better on that niche. And this is how you grow and you have more success. But you also have to block the other things that you would like to do in order to just pursue that. And that's difficult. I also have many other types of things that I'm thinking about and I would like to kind of transferring my content, but maybe it's not relevant or doesn't work with the image I have right now. And these are things that you have to, these are challenges that you have to deal with. I don't have an answer, actually.
What I really like about your account is that you don't take yourself too seriously, because sometimes you have these accounts and it's such a pressure. Like, I would understand younger people why they like stop eating and just working out, because it's like this fake world. And you guys, you show, you know, it's art. So it's not something you want to fake a reality to make other people feel bad. And I love this. I love the compositions of the color and then the view. It's not this, you know, this, what you see on a feed all the time. Like when you're in Paris, always the same thing. You always see the entire Eiffel Tower. No, you guys do this fun thing. And then someone runs against the camera, stuff like that. You know, it's like, it's fun. And it's, you can see that it's your guy's passion and that you always have an idea behind it. And it's not like, this is my life on a daily business. If you're not on a rooftop right now and having champagne, you're a terrible person. This is not what the feeling you get. It's like, it's a happy place. And I love the colors. It's like, it's summer. It's like, it's summer all day long.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Actually, today is very beautiful outside.
That's true. We will go.
Absolutely. I will go probably in the afternoon. I will go hiking with a friend. And
where do you go hiking?
Usually, I love to go to Leopoldsberg and Kahlenberg. But today I was thinking about Hermannskogel. It's in the 18th or 19th district somewhere.
Yeah, that's really nice.
The tallest, no, the highest mountain, you know.
Mountain.
Let's say mountain. And yeah, I think it's perfect.
I know all of those hills because I'm very passionate about mountain biking, and I did all the Wienerwald with the bike.
Wow.
And it's very beautiful. I love it.
But thank you so much that you had the time for us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So nice
sure.
conversation.
Welcome. And thanks for having me.
Yeah,
of course. And it was really nice. And I hope you guys have a very successful rest of the year and can lay back and enjoy a little bit.
Thanks.
That's how we.
Do you know each other long?
We have 10 years anniversary, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's actually in October. It was in October our 10 years anniversary.
Where's my present?
It's my present.
Yeah, 10 years. We know each other 10 years. It was really nice meeting you. You're such a cool guy. Thanks so much.
Thanks. You too.
So, hope to see you, hear you soon.
All right.